Hello, this is Jason Demereau again, and we're in a different vehicle now. This is a truck that I bought a few days. It hasn't even been a week. It got bought on a Wednesday. It's now Tuesday. It's almost a week in my possession, and has some interesting quirks to deal with, but doesn't everything. So I am the king of quirks. Lisa and I have been reading Escape. I have called it an analogy. I don't know if that's a good way to say it. You know, and I don't want to make comparisons to Scripture, but Scripture similarly cannot be easily defined. We call them books because we bind them together in a cover. And that's essentially what a book is. Escape is an interesting sort of book. Lisa doesn't really like it. Probably because she keeps saying, I want it to be a novel. But to be really honest, this is more I'm not going to sit there and hope that you pick up on it. My job is to point at it every time. Do so even obnoxiously. My biggest hope out of all of it is that people will recognize, as I invite them to do over and over again in the Escape book, it's not so much a novel. I guess you could try to read it as that, and you'll get frustrated, upset, and say, I hate it when he takes those little sidelines. You go, number one, I get a kick out of the sidelines. Number two, I think it reflects on the larger theme. We're just getting to the point to where there's an investment party and there's kind of what's called a treasure barge. And Melisandre and Davor are going to escape on the treasure barge. And one of the interesting things that comes up is that Davor is a person that doesn't care about his situation. It isn't very hard. It isn't very horrible. Now, there's a few reasons why it wouldn't be. And one of the biggest ones is that since he's this kind of interestingly watched over consort, which doesn't make any sense given the kind of person he is. He has no business being a consort. Not that it's something that he aspires to. An interesting, almost scientific experiment puts Davor and Melisandre together, but it's also a tool of God to accomplish something for him. Anyway, on this treasure barge, I forget what what symbolism it's supposed to have, an investment. It becomes a convenient way to take all these things to the place that the newly invested lady will live for a while. The car has recently flipped over 140. This truck has recently gotten 140,000 miles on it. And I'm hoping to put at least another 100,000 on it. Although, according to my calculations, if I really am to do this job, which I hope I don't, to be honest, I'm not unhappy with the job particularly. Anyway, so on this treasure barge, we set up the incidents. And the problem with Davor is that he is conditioned to obey women. And Malls has become somewhat attached to this interesting, scrawny fella. For lack of anything else to say about it. And he's hearing from different voices. Samantha running down the quay, telling him to stop, telling him to throw a rope, telling him to come back to the side. And he is not, it's not really ironic, but it kind of sounds like it might be. He's not a boat rocker. Whatever happens to him, he doesn't care deeply about any of it. Now this kind of goes with what happens later in prophecy, which is the book that stands between which is placed 18 months later and involves the continuation it isn't really a continuation. It's basically another thing that needs to happen. It has to do at the beginning with restlessness to a large degree and how one copes with such things. Anyway, so we're on the treasure barge, and Malls, observing that her man is about to screw up her escape. You have to understand, Davor is not a hero. In fact, Davor rarely is a hero. He eventually learns to follow God rather than other voices. That much we know for sure. But that takes a long way. And in Escape, there is this. You know, I don't know what exactly he ends up being. And you can say, well, what's his purpose in the story? And you go, he really ends up just being, well, Lucinda's closest thing she has to a consort. That's it. You know, if you feel like everybody has to have this meaning, I don't know that he's really comic relief. I find a lot of me in it. I'm kind of a go with the flow kind of guy. To which I can only say I've been very blessed. Because I am not an impressive figure. Most people would come up and say, I don't know what to think of Jason Demereaux. I don't think highly of him. And you go, that's whatever. Guys, chilly. I'm gonna close up the outside air so it's not blowing in here so obviously. Anyway, I'm not getting to the point on the treasure ship, because what Mulls ultimately does is bang him on the head with a convocation plate. He can't but act as he has been trained. This is one of the bigger problems with those in the convocation. Because to a large extent, it's soft, it's comfortable, it's chock full of lies. But nobody cares deeply for those desiring power. It appeases that desire to on a large level. They have to understand that God is doing something. The whole thing, the first and the last statements are babies change everything. And it's true. You can just go along in life, just kind of cruising, not getting too weird. But then you start having a family, and you've got to get a little more pointed, a little more serious about things, for things to come together, you know. There will always be kind of lowly jobs, and that's not to speak badly of them, but just to say that these aren't jobs upon which you can raise a family. You know, I worked at Allsup's a lot during college. Of course, going to college itself was an expression of, I don't know if I wanted something better. I wanted something more. I think Lisa wanted better. And she impelled me to do better. And am I grateful to her? Absolutely. Absolutely thankful for my blessings. For the good things that I've been given. And so, yeah. Well, Ascenda on that treasure ship takes up a big, I think it's gold plate. And I mean a round platter, you know, a plate from eating off of, although you'd hard-pressed to eat off the gold. Stamped on it is an insignia of the convocation. And Davor gets hit in the head a lot. I don't, you know, like I said, I don't think there's great import to any of it. To, you know, these things happening. You can look and you can see. This book was somewhat inspired. Is it fictionalized? Yes. I don't know these people. This place does not exist. It's only a framework in which to hang a story where God is affecting the lives of people in interesting ways. And that's it. If you don't see that part of it, I guess you can see it for something else. You'll be very unsatisfied, like my wife is, about about what's there. You can say, oh, Jason Everett was such an interesting writer. And you go, oh, okay, I guess I can give you that. If you find real depth and increased meaning through it, which is what I think I'm going to advertise it with, what a bent up mess. You did a good job cleaning it up. Yeah, somebody right up Raglan Hill just plowed into the side of the thing. I guess they had it all handled by tomorrow afternoon, by yesterday afternoon, because I don't remember even noting it on the way home. I have to go past that place every time I go through. So, yeah. I was struggling with the fact that even after reading this book, that I have not yet put any particular effort into marketing it at all. And how I would market it. Because what this ultimately becomes is the larger milieu in which God accomplishes a lot of his will among the children of the Aleph. They're, you know, this was a time and a situation prophesied. And that needs to be a good feature of prophecy. I've had bad luck writing prophecy. I seem to recall that it didn't take very long to write Escape. And can I be honest? I don't know that I really, you know, that it was all firmly set down before I started. I don't know if prophecy is going to be either. But I think I see where I need it, where it needs to go. But I think I need to fix glaring issues to make sure that it flows better. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a whole point of I need to go through it, do another good cleanup of it, and I've noticed that the blog posts that tend to do better, strangely enough, have to do with just maintenance things. Talked about the fact that I had seen a picture of the Condor Explorer in Shetland, believe it or not, Berwick Harbor. And that thing got a lot of views, and you're going, why would that be? Whoa, woohoo. Anyway, so I think I'll do more posts and such about God helping us along, and then giving them the story. And I'll do the whole thing about, you know, I'll continue to do my stuff with the Book of Mormon. That's what I've been doing. But interspersed in those, point people in the book, let's try to sell some books. I don't know what to call it. I was calling it the Vigary analogy. That's like, oh. I don't know if that's true. The current cover says a Vigary novel, and that's not true. You can look at it as a novel, I suppose. A rumination What is a rumination anyway? Let me look this up. I have these tools. Rumination. Rumination. Definition. There we go. A deeper considered thought about something. I love the second one, the act of chewing the cud. I like that. Rumination. The first one should be a first novigiary rumination. And prophecy should be a second novigiary rumination. I can throw all kinds of stuff in there. My own personal ruminating. My own, you know. The Mariner's Log is not owned by, say, the church, for instance. I freely credit God, so I don't have to feel badly. I don't have to come back and say, well, I got this from this other fellow. Here's my quote from him. I don't do these things. Rumination. I'm chewing my cud. A lot of people don't like that. I don't think Lisa is a big fan of watching cud get chewed. Anyway, so there we go. I've already got prophecy chopped up into pieces. It's already diagrammed out to a large extent. But I don't want to plant too hard yet. I don't want to plant too hard, period. Because I need the inspiration that comes in. So I need to clean up the scape. I think I may do better putting kind of the waykeep stone, for lack of a better term for it, the Mariner's Log, as a title plate. Make that change to text also. Because in some ways it really does provide guidance, not with just the way it's carved, but in bringing people to where, to a better place, to where they need to be. So yeah. I really need to have been marking the mistakes that need to be corrected in the book as I was going along so that I can clean it up a bit, fix it, and put out a second edition with corrections. So I am very much like Davor. I'd still go out and look for properties to say, ooh, I would like to possess that. It's like, possess it for what? To what purpose? And you go, you know, I don't think I really have a purpose in doing it. And so, yeah, am I a lot like Davor? Yeah. If I indicate such things, I'm being acted upon by the wrong spirit, maybe? Or no, it's not the wrong, it's a distraction. And the distractions may be caused by me, or by culture that I'm associated with, or whatever else. So yeah, I'm a lot, Davor. Too much go with the flow. And it's like, God has something different for you. And sometimes he needs other people to help you. In David's case, he needed Melisandre to hit him in the back of the head. And get him away from the convocation so that better things can happen, so that bigger things can come. Excuse me. I think it might be that way for me, too. I still have not yet done what I needed to do. I can take the lazy way, which is to make this money. It's good money. Although money is a bizarre thing. It really is. It can be used just as much as a distraction from what you're doing as a resource to help you do something. For me, it's a bit of a distraction. Is that a fox? It's like a fox. There's some roadkill on the road that looked like it was a fox. And you go, there's five foxes there. And you go, yeah, we do. You're not going to see them very often. I remember in Portales, at the church building, we used to run into foxes quite often. Well, what I'm surprised by is that there's not a lot of, there wasn't a lot of scavengers, crows. We don't have a lot of vultures. I've rarely seen vultures here. Crows fill that void here. Picking on carrion. My 2 gallon fuel thing is knocking around in my back of the truck. Anyway, so, yeah. I've been poking and hopping and bopping it in the big area, the larger framework. So long now, golly. Pieces and bits of other stories leading nowhere, honestly, which I don't think are all that compelling. Well, we'll just keep on keeping on. But yeah, I think there's some potential advertisements going on that will work really well. Well, that'll work better. I've really made absolutely zero attempt to do this. So yeah, I need to do a cleaned up version of it. Put the important piece in there that needs to be put in there. And make it happen, baby. Make it happen. And yeah, I don't want to be clickbait, but you have to be these days if you're going to get people to do something, to read something, to look at something. That we're going to ruminate, because that's what I tend to do, is I tend to ruminate. I think there needs to be a lot more rumination going on in the world. So Escape needs to be re-subtitled as The First Navigiary Rumination. The Mariner's Log in there. Oh. Okay. That's all I have to record for today, is to remind myself that this needs to happen. Actually, I need to not make it a to-do list, but make it a constant tickler. Yeah. That's what I need to set up on here. So I'll do that after I finish this recording. And in the new truck, it's a 2004 Nissan Frontier with a shell on it. Something to be said for that. You know, I knew I had had a stupor of thought about the content for quite a while. But I went ahead and bought it anyway when it came down, so I was going to start camping out. And now, I've got a rig that doesn't, that I can sleep in the back of. What about that for interest? Just barely gave that a thought now, that this would be a good thing to do. Okay. Anyway, this is interesting. I'm going to put it in the corner. Anyway, okay. That's all I got. Talk later.